Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. As Americans, we are very keen on the idea of whether something is essential and necessary. Do we really need to do this? Certainly, one of the areas this idea is prominent is when our children are considering college. Since the cost of a college education expense is soaring and has been for some time, the very important concern for both parents or perhaps grandparents to consider is trying to connect a college education with a job and career path. Since the education has such a high price tag, we want this education to land the young person a job, or better yet, land a job who is willing to pay, or at least partially pay, for the education. Perhaps if college wasn't so expensive, this would not even be a concern. But let's be honest. We want some assurance and a way of paying off our education so that we do not spend half of our adult lives paying off student loans. So we come back to this question. Is this really essential? Is it necessary? Well, this morning I want to focus on the necessity of the gospel. And yes, I'm shifting gears when I pivot from talk of a college diploma to the reality of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is more important and essential to our life with God than a college diploma or job we may want. So my first point is the necessity of responding to the gospel. Notice in Romans chapter 10, 6 through 8, in order to have a relationship with God, it is not that we draw near to God, but that God, in the person of his Son, became human to take on our human nature, human body, human emotions, and human needs for us and for our salvation. Christ descended from heaven to earth as he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Christ was also raised from the dead. God took the initiative, saving us, not by us coming to him, but he coming to us. Christ has always been the way of salvation, both in the Old and New Testaments. The Old Testament law prepared the people of God for him, and his coming over 2,000 years ago in fulfillment of the law and the prophets and of God's righteousness. In Romans 10, 6 through 13, the way of the law and the way of faith are contrasted. Obedience to the law has always failed because we're sinners. We don't keep the law of God. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. This passage teaches us that both belief in the heart and confession with the mouth are essential evidences of our salvation. It emphasizes that Christianity is not merely an intellectual assent, but involves a profound personal act of faith in which we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is risen from the dead. Faith is connected to Christ, who is both God and man, and who conquered death by his resurrection. Genuine saving faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior transforms the whole person, the whole heart, soul, mind, and body. And so Jesus came to deliver us from our sins by his death and his resurrection. This brings me to my second point, and that is the necessity of someone to proclaim this gospel. There's been a saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi which says, "Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words." I'm not sure St. Francis actually said that. But for argument's sake, let's concede that he did say that. I disagree with an interpretation of this saying that it can be inferred that the preaching of the gospel does not necessarily include words. For the Apostle Paul argues in this passage, in Romans 10, 14, and 15, he asks a series of five questions, all of which assume that a person must hear the verbal proclamation of the gospel in order to hear and believe and be saved. Of course, the gospel must be lived out and applied to our lives as well as a verbal message, but it is both and, not either or. So I want to review these series of five questions that Paul asks in Romans 10, 14, and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Through these questions, the Apostle Paul demonstrates the necessity of someone proclaiming the gospel so that a person may hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the message of the good news. At times, such as the birth of Christ, God did use messengers other than people. He used angels to announce the birth of his son. Yes, the angels proclaimed this message to the shepherds as it is recorded in Luke 2, 10 and 12. But the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." While God has used angels to announce the good news of Christ, ordinarily God uses the church. He uses you and me. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim the Lord reigns. The Apostle Paul uses this phrase at the end of Romans 10, 14, and how will they hear without a preacher? Normally, when we hear the word preacher, we think of pastors, clergymen. And yes, they are set apart to teach and preach God's word to their congregation and the community at large. However, in this context, the phrase, how will they hear without a preacher, the use of the word in this context can have a general meaning to meaning any Christian who proclaims the gospel. So let's think about this for a moment. You have the opportunity to live out an exemplary Christian life before friends, neighbors, co-workers, and other acquaintances, and then verbally plant seeds of the gospel when the opportunity arises. This could be followed up with an invitation to a church outreach, such as, for example, a pancake supper or even an Oktoberfest, and eventually an invitation to a church service. All of this is teamwork. It takes time, effort, intention, prudence, and all of the above bathed in prayer. But it takes the effort of many people, like you and like me, to proclaim the gospel to a person. But our gospel witness includes both our actions and our words. Our passage ends also with a warning. In Romans 10:16, Paul says this, "However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." During this season of Advent, as we prepare for the yearly remembrance of our Lord's incarnation, let us commit ourselves anew to the message of Christ's incarnation, which is necessary for our salvation. Not everyone who hears the word believes it, but if we are to have salvation, we must believe, and for somebody to believe, they must hear, and that's done through you and through me. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse the repentant sinner from sin. Only Jesus Christ, King and Judge, can prepare us for the day of judgment. Only Jesus Christ can give mankind the grace to walk the narrow path of salvation and avoid the broad, easy road to everlasting condemnation and God's judgment. There is only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, the name of our Lord Jesus. This is an absolute necessity to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ, who is both God and man. It is an absolute necessity for the followers of Christ, the people of God, to be obedient to the call of our Lord to proclaim this good news of the deliverance of sin and death through faith in Jesus Christ. May we be faithful to proclaim this essential message for our salvation and for the whole world. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us by the Holy Spirit to hear your word and to truly believe in our hearts that God has raised your Son, Jesus, from the dead. And with our mouths we may proclaim Jesus is Lord. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.